first lesson for this evening is from 1 Peter chapters 4 and 5. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it's time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful God while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. We rise for the gospel reading. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in Your own presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. I've manifested Your name to the people whom You gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to me. And they've kept Your word. And now they know that everything that You've given me is from You. For I've given them the words that You gave me. And they've received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You. And they've believed that You sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given me. For they are Yours. All mine are Yours, and Yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to You. Holy Father, keep them in Your name which You have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
text is 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 through 11, and we'll be turning to that in our Bibles shortly, but as we begin, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, our chief shepherd, bless us and be with us. Help us resist the devil, and even though we must suffer for a while, nevertheless assure us of that final victory that you have won for us in your life, death, and resurrection. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join with me in turning to page 1017. These are beautiful words, comforting words, and I think you'll enjoy working through this verse by verse. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. I think most of us realize that many people today who consider themselves sort of psychological, social guides of life, authors, professors, talk show hosts, news anchors, movie actors, and so on, hardly any of them believe at all in the existence of the devil. They think of the devil as some kind of mythological boogeyman that maybe weak people of faith are afraid of, but shouldn't be afraid of. Contrast that with what the Bible says about the devil, what Jesus of Nazareth says about the devil, and what Peter says about him here, as we heard Pastor Adel read just a little bit, or Pastor Miller read just a little bit ago. Contrast that and consider it carefully. I say that truly for the welfare of your eternal souls. So, chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, Peter says, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Humility is God's way, pride is the devil's way. Paul says that Satan was cast down, he fell under the condemnation of God. You know, ever wonder what was his sin? Paul says that his sin was that he was puffed up with conceit. John also speaks of the pride of life that does not come from the Father. Humility versus pride. That's a dramatic contrast between the way things are in God's kingdom and the way things are in God's world. The world is full of pride and self-conceit of all sorts. We often see that being demonstrated today in the way people are so incredibly and easily offended by anyone who would tell them something that they do not want to hear. I heard of two students recently, a high school student and a junior high student, who were both told by teachers in their school that they were not to speak about things in the Bible to fellow students because those things might make those students feel bad. This is the pride of life at work in the world. Easily offended, overly sensitive, and you are not being prideful when you raise the matters of truth before people, especially if you put yourself under those truths as well, as you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That kind of humble life is what the world needs, even though the world rejects it initially in all cases. Nevertheless, it is what the world needs to see in us and to hear our humble resistance to its false, misleading, and death-creating ways. Verse 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I think the students that I mentioned before and many others have a certain kind of anxiety when they're being told that they are not supposed to say something that they believe in with all their heart. There are all sorts of anxieties in this life that are caused by sin and also caused by the fact that we simply care and we want things to be right, we want things to be good. So we may experience anxieties in our relationships, with our friends, in our marriages, with our children and our parents, with brothers and sisters. We may find ourselves anxious about financial situations, our job. When we see people around us succeeding, sometimes we feel like we are a failure. That causes anxiety. Sometimes we've drifted far from the Lord, and we're beginning to experience the consequences of that. All cause anxiety of different sorts. Addictions that grip us and hold us, and we can't seem to break away from them. All of these things, Peter says, cast them, casting your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. That means that we don't just struggle with them by ourselves, but that we take them in prayer and throw them before the Lord and ask, beg, plead for Him to deal with those things with us and on our behalf. He has given to us many great promises in the Bible that He will do this. Psalm 40, "You are my helper and my deliverer." In Psalm 50, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me." So we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. We cast our anxieties before Him. And verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Jesus had a confrontation, a very serious confrontation with the devil at the very beginning of His ministry. He resisted the devil for us. And that began a counterattack against evil that has been going on ever since, and we are part of that. Last Thursday, we celebrated the ascension of Jesus 40 days after His resurrection, after appearing before the disciples and teaching them about the kingdom of God. Bible says He ascended into heaven. He is withheld from their sight and from our sight, but He rules at the right hand of God the Father Almighty on our behalf. And yet before all of that happened, Jesus prayed even before He died on the cross in John chapter 17, just a few more verses after the gospel lesson that we heard this evening. Jesus prayed, "Father, I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You deliver them from the evil one." And Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, urges us to pray daily, "Deliver us from evil." Peter rightly portrays Satan as he is, a prowling and devouring lion, a lion who conceals himself so that he can get as close as possible to our souls. Paul in 2 Corinthians says that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. All of his words are lies, Jesus assures us in John. As though God would say to us, "I created the world and everything in it," Satan says the world has always existed and is continually creating itself. God says, "Repent of your sins and come to me for forgiveness." The devil says, "You don't have any sins. Your problem is the people that say you do. Get rid of them and then you'll be happy." A great lie that too many people believe. And then finally, there is the word of the Lord that God gives to us, urging us to listen, urging us to be changed and affected by it, urging us to live by it. But Satan turns around and says, "No, live by your own thoughts, by your own desires, by your own will." And he knows that because it is broken by sin, it will only lead to destruction. Peter says that we should be sober, and that is literally the word means don't be intoxicated. But he's not just talking about chemical intoxication here. He's talking about spiritual intoxication, kind of mind-bending realities that happen. People first begin to lose their faith, and then they begin to lose their minds, literally. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that when people reject their Creator, they become futile in their thinking, and their foolish minds are darkened. Now, Peter says that we should resist him. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This last week, I spent some time in our classrooms doing our little Ask the Pastor. I let the kids ask any questions they want. I've been doing this for years. And I'm always amazed at how often the students ask about the devil. Where did he come from? And why does God let him cause so much trouble in this world? The Bible tells us that these things are a deep mystery. Let me illustrate that for you. You can learn some things from the Bible of where Satan comes from, an angel that in his pride broke away from the Lord and was cast down, became a kind of pseudo-prince of this world, and all of the things that we've already heard about from Peter and other places in the Bible. But if you really want to dig deeper than that, you're not going to get very far, because God just won't let us understand that. And that's partly because sin, by its very nature, doesn't make sense. It will never be understood. And you can't understand the devil in the same way that you and I cannot understand why we sometimes sin. We know what the right things are that we are to do, and yet sometimes we find ourselves not doing those things. Why? It's a mystery. It's sin. It doesn't make sense. There is no explanation to it, but there is resistance to it. There is humble resistance to it. I have to make an important correction in the translation here. It's a very important point, and I hope you follow it carefully and listen. Peter says, resist him firm in your faith. I love this English Standard Version of the Bible, but all translations of the Bible have their weaknesses and their shortcomings. And this is a pretty dramatic one here. In the Greek language, in the original language, Peter actually said, resist him firm in the faith. Your faith is subjective, and it is important. It's as though Peter were saying in that way, resist the devil by really, really believing. And that's good. We need to really, really try to believe. But there's something more important than that, and that is to resist the devil in the faith. The faith, the actual words and teachings of Jesus and the apostles, the objective word of God. And so as we really, really believe in Jesus, it's important that we really believe in those things that are really true. Study them carefully and learn them and follow them. All of Satan's lies are countered by the truth. And when we know that truth well and have it in our hearts, we are able to defend ourselves from him. Verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We must suffer a little while. Peter is not saying that in resisting the devil, you will escape all suffering in this life. We must suffer a little while because Satan is the one Jesus came to destroy. To destroy the one who the book of Hebrews said has the power of death. Whether that be the power of a disease like cancer, just look at our prayer list and all of the people that are suffering in that way, some of whom we know will die from that disease, to the extremes and the terror, the problems of terrorism, and that we saw just this past week in England and Egypt, and especially the children that were murdered. Make no mistake about it, this is the work of the devil. This is the one who has the power over death. And if you wonder why do some suffer more than others? Again, this is part of his method and his strategy to confuse, to cause people to question the existence and the goodness of God. Satan tears people apart, but his ultimate goal is to tear everyone away from the Lord. We, in all of that confusion, look to Jesus, who suffered a while for us to assure us that our sufferings in this life are not forever. They are not eternal, but rather he promises us an eternal glory. He will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And we close with verse 11. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Trust, listen, resist. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. O Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your resistance to the evil one. We thank you for your teachings that keep us sober-minded, that help us to avoid and flee evil and resist it when it approaches close to us. Save us and deliver us. In your name we pray. Amen.